From the team at CTS, this is the Time Crunch Cyclist Podcast, our show dedicated to answering your training questions and providing actionable advice to help you improve your performance, even if you're strapped for time. I'm your host, Coach Adam Pulford, and I'm one of the over 50 professional coaches who make up the team at CTS. In each episode, I draw on our team's collective knowledge, other coaches, and experts in the field to provide you with the practical ways to get the most out of your training and ultimately become the best cyclist that you can be. Now, on to our show. Welcome back, Time Crunch fans. I'm your host, Coach Adam Pulford. If you're new to the show, welcome. This podcast is geared toward athletes that are short on time, but not short on motivation to learn, train, and become their best athlete selves. We aim to do this by taking topics from all things endurance sport and package them into shorter, actionable episodes so that you can listen, learn, and train right. Many of these topics are inspired by you, our audience, by submitting questions that you want to hear answered. And that's what we're going to do on today's show. So first question is a topic that I categorize it as coming back from injury or surgery. And so let's read the question from Karen. I'm so psyched after hearing episode 183, season 4. Thank you. For listeners who didn't check that one out, that's one with me and Coach Charlie Livermore, where we talk about pedaling technique. So go back and check it out if you didn't before. And Karen says, beyond learning that I'm a technique geek, I also know that I enjoy the process of improving. Still kind of babying my total hip replacement from 2 years ago and fear doing weighted squats because it feels like something is being compressed. Any workarounds since the hips are so important? Thank you, Charlie, Adam, and CTS. And again, that's coming from Karen. Yeah, Karen, awesome. Glad to hear that you're enjoying the episodes and you enjoy the show. And, you know, good luck on coming back from that surgery because that is a big one. So, but first, to answer this properly, I will say that I am not a doctor. Okay, so I'll advise you to follow all the doctor's orders, listen to your PT if you're still in a progression with them coming back from the surgery. But yeah, hips are important, Karen. And much of all sport and all movement stems from there. If adding weight is not feeling right, simply don't do it. You can increase strength and range of motion by not having to add much weight to the system at all. And in particular, you don't have to load the spine in order to do that. And that's when you load the spine, that's like, it's like doing a back squat with weight, for example. And that could be what you're feeling in the compression. So try simple bodyweight squats. You probably are already, but I'll start there because that's exactly where I would start if you came to me today and you gave me this question, right? So a bodyweight squat is simply squatting down. Okay. The motion, I would argue, is more complicated than that to do it properly. And to do it properly, we talk about proper form. And Coach Kelly Moylan and I discussed that proper form and a progression of that back on episode number 181 and 182, where we talk about strength training and in particular velocity-based strength training. So go back and check that out for some of the proper form when it pertains to squatting. Okay. We also talk about a bunch of other strength training stuff. So it's a good one to check out. Now, on top of this, you can also use isometric holds, like doing a wall sit and going to the point of the legs are, you know, a little burny and a little shaky. Okay. All a wall sit is as it sounds, you go up to a wall, put your back against it and scoot down so that your knees are in around a 90 degree position. And all you do is you hold that position until you feel that burn and you start to shake a little bit. Okay. You want to build up toward failure and overload to elicit strength gains. And that's important. And you can do that with loaded exercises, isometrics, body weight, all this kind of stuff. But you want to feel that shakiness. Okay. You want to feel the muscle kind of giving way. And an isometric hold is a pretty safe way to do it because, I mean, don't be super crazy and go to the point where you fall over. That's not what I'm advising here. But it's a very safe way to get that muscle to the point of failure so that you can feel it, and then you'll start to increase gains from there. So probably start with 3 sets per day, okay? 3 sets of doing this wall sit. And what you do is you go up to the point that I described of near failure, and then take rest about 2 to 4 minutes in between, 3 to 4 minutes probably err on the side of a little bit more because we want to go to that point of failure. Do that 2 to 3 times a week and do it for about 2 to 3 weeks before you move on. Okay. Now, moving on, what does that look like? I would then add in lunges. Okay. And I'm not even going to add weight right now to it, just simply body weight lunges. You can do it simply by just doing forward lunges. Google it and look at that form, but that form is the knee basically going to that 90 degree angle again as your hips are trajecting forward. Okay. But I also like in this particular instance doing what I call a lunge complex. Okay. What that looks like is a forward lunge, a lateral lunge, diagonal lunge forward, diagonal lunge to the back, and then a reverse lunge. And I'll link to a good video that shows a lunge complex. Okay. For people looking for increased strength, mobility, and strength through full range of motion, as well as muscle coordination, muscle and mind coordination too, this is a great exercise. And so it's really going to help you, Karen, in where you're at right now. I can also use this for athletes in their dynamic warm-up phase. We'll do like a lighter kind of like progression of it, and then they'll go into their main sets for heavier lifts and that kind of thing. So you can use it for many things. But Karen, for you, try 3 sets of 3 on each side. So what that looks like is it's a little deceiving because 3 repetitions is actually, this is 1. Okay. 1 is you go forward, then diagonal front, then lateral, then diagonal behind, and then reverse. And that's 1. Okay. So it's actually kind of many repetitions on one side before you move to the next. But again, I'll link to it in the show notes. Check that one out. But 3 sets of 3, and that's going to likely build you up to the point of some failure. But because you're changing your plane of motion, you're changing your height of motion, and you're using different muscle groups to do all these different angles, it's a really good one that I would start to incorporate for your journey back to getting strong. From there, I would add in step-ups. And it's another great movement for everybody, including cyclists, because it really targets the concentric pushing action on the pedals, because it hits all the big muscle groups and even the small muscle groups. It hits basically every muscle in the leg. Okay. Glutes, hamstrings, quads, gastroc, soleus, tibialis, anterior. All the other ones, hip flexors, things like this. Now you may be able to add load here by using lighter dumbbells. Okay. Cause it doesn't load the spine and it shouldn't really compress anything. Now if you do start in with some light dumbbells and you do feel pain, just simply toss them off to the side. It's a pretty easy way that if something is flagging in your head as pain, you can ditch the weights pretty quick. Do 3 sets of 6 to 8 on each leg and build up to that rate of perceived effort of 8 or 9 out of 10, meaning that you could complete 1 or 2 more going to max with good form if you had to. And again, like I'll encourage you to develop strength off of the bike using body weight and using other loads and building up to that point of near failure, because that's really where we get the gains as far as muscular strength and hypertrophy come from. Okay. Now, on top of all that, just to kind of like shift slightly, I'm always going to encourage people to do yoga. Okay. I'm a big fan of it for cyclists as well as any human being. I think that the benefits are there. And probably yet to be fully realized by many athlete types because of that mind-body connection in combination through full range of motion. Okay. Full body movements with breath definitely creates a very like in-tune athlete with self. And Karen, as your hips continually heal, as you said, they're very important. they stem, or they are the epicenter of all movement, and use a combination of everything that I talked about today, from body weight exercises to light loaded step ups, and then yoga, because I do think that strength, mobility, health, and longevity, they're all there in those movements. So, I hope that helps, and please write back in and tell us how the progression is going in a couple of months from now. Okay, so the next question, I categorize this as when cardiovascular fitness is not your limiter. Okay, and I'll read the question and then kind of get into why I paired these two questions together. So here's the question, and it's coming from Linda. I've had bilateral hip replacements in 2023. Did the right one in July, did the other one in October. I'm a 68-year-old woman and have been riding since 2006. My FTP and ability to maintain 95 to 100 RPM have significantly decreased since prior my first surgery. Strength rather than cardiovascular fitness is definitely the limiter. I've been working with a trainer for strength for over 2 months. Is it possible to address this on the bike? I'm on a Wahoo kicker, not going outside after bilateral replacements. And again, that's coming from Linda. Yeah, Linda, great question, and good luck on your journey back as well. I wanted to address this question today along with Karen's. It kind of came in around the same time period, but on the outset, it's almost like the same thing, but I think it is different because you've identified that your limiter is not cardiovascular fitness, but rather it's peripheral strength. And it's important to recognize that, okay? Because again, I'm not a doctor. It sounds like you've been on this healing journey, coming back from this major surgery. And I can say with confidence to continue working on that strength development, but don't rush it, okay? Depending on the number of sessions that you've been doing on the bike versus the gym, you may want to increase more gym at the expense of that cycling session, okay? Especially if strength is your limiter right now. Because what you're looking for is that performance. It seems like you're moving fine with no huge pain, but like that strength is really what you're searching for. And that's a little different from what Karen is. She's like, she's having some pain, and I still think strength is the way and the answer to pursue with Karen, but it's like strength, mobility, and all this kind of stuff. But for you, it's like you seem to be moving well, and more training is not necessarily the case, especially more bike training. So I would sacrifice, like I said, I would sacrifice some of the bike, put in more strength. And this is what it looks like. Here's an example. If you're riding 3 to 4 times per week right now, and you're doing strength 2 times a week, maybe go 3 and 3. So add in one more strength session and throw out one more cycling session. And that's going to prioritize not only like your time, but also your energy in and all the resources that your body has on board to develop strength. Okay. I should have looked this up before, but I did have an episode talking about the trade-offs between strength and endurance training. I'll link it in my show notes. I can't think of the number or the title right now. But it is really important in the way of how to manage yourself when you want more of one thing than the other. So when you want more strength, add more strength sessions. And here's what to aim for when you're doing a strength session. So your sets, you want at least 3 and up to 4 sets with repetitions of 5 to 8. I wouldn't go over 8 repetitions. Okay. Now, I know you said that you're working with a personal trainer for at least a session or two per week. Continue to do that. I think that's wonderful because that gives you targeted feedback on both form and probably how much load or weight to increase. So that's great. You can go solo if you want to save time and money or something like that. But I do think for anybody listening here, I'm a pretty big advocate of working with a certified professional in the gym if you're an endurance athlete, because sorry to say it, but oftentimes Our form is not great because we spend a lot of time pedaling a bicycle, not lifting weights, and what we think that we're doing in our head is likely not what our form is in the outside world. So getting a little feedback on that is certainly a good thing. So Linda, keep doing that. But as you go to, you know, learn from the professional you're working with and also be empowered to move beyond it and maybe do that third session solo so that you can work on what you need to work on and take some ownership of that too. Kind of adding in what you feel you need on the day as opposed to just what that person tells you. I think that's a good mix of getting that feedback and working with someone and then also having some autonomy in your training too. So again, I can't stress good form enough, especially with full body movements, so as to prevent injury. But once you do have that form down, now you want to add load and add weight, and that is the way to increase strength. My philosophy is to increase strength in the gym using heavier loads. Then we keep riding our bike weekly, you know, a couple times a week, 2-3 times a week, in your case, Linda. And these gains will translate to the bike. What I generally find is if we do this well, you'll be adding more watts to your intervals and you'll be able to sustain that higher cadence, no problem. Once you get your muscles and nerves to a high quality trained state that they were likely in before the surgeries. Finally, I'll say this too. I mean, I've had major surgeries on my knees before, and it's a longer road than you want, but stay the course, Linda. Focus on getting stronger again, and you'll definitely see the benefits, not only on the bike, but I think in all aspects of life. So stay the course and right back in too, and let us know how it goes. So finally, in closing, I want to thank all of our listeners once again for not only listening, but writing in. It's great to hear what you're struggling with, what you're curious about, what you want to learn about on this podcast. And hopefully we're giving great advice along the way. In upcoming episodes, we'll be answering questions like the difference between glucose and dextrose and why that matters in sports drinks, platform versus clipless pedals, and probably more questions about zone 2 training. In particular, they're your questions. So if you have one for us, remember to head over to trainright.com/podcast, click on ask a training question, and we'll do our best to answer it in future episodes. That's it. That's our show for today, folks. Thank you all for listening, and please share it with a friend if you like what you heard. Be sure to come back each week for more short and actionable training advice for your time crunch life. Thanks for joining us on the Time Crunch Cyclist podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you want even more actionable training advice, head over to trainright.com/newsletter and subscribe to our free weekly publication. Each week, you'll get in-depth training content that goes beyond what we cover here on the podcast that'll help you take your training to the next level. That's all for now. Until next time, train hard, train smart, train right.